The opinions expressed in this show are the views of the host and not necessarily that of WTRW, 94.3 The Talker, or the Bold Gold Media Group.
The following presentation is brought to you by the host of the program, who is solely responsible for its content.
All Century 21 real estate offices are independently owned and operated.
Hi, I'm Jackie Ruddy, broker of Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate. Welcome to the Real Estate Roundtable on 94.3 FM, The Talker. I'm here with my co-host, husband, fellow realtor, Pat Devaney.
Good morning, Jackie.
How are you?
Very good. How are you?
Fantastic. We're here today with Mark Seitzinger, Director of Licensing, Inspections, and Permits.
Good morning. How are you?
How are you?
I'm fantastic.
Thanks for being here with us.
Anytime.
We're here every Saturday at 11 a.m. and Sunday at 11:30 a.m. We answer real estate questions. We have a full-time real estate office with many experienced realtors. We have been appraising, listing, and selling real estate for over 40 years.
During the week, feel free to email us with any questions you have at questions@jruddy.com. That's questions@jruddy.com, or give us a call at 570-344-6724.
Like us on Facebook at the Real Estate Roundtable or Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate. View our listings or search the MLS listings by going to jruddy.com, J-R-U-D-D-Y.com, where you can also listen to archive radio shows. Once again, Mark Seitzinger from Scranton, the city of Scranton, licensing, inspections, and permits. You're the director, right?
Yes, I am.
So you oversee a lot of madness.
Every day.
Okay, we call you Mr. Lips, right?
Yeah, unfortunately, that's the acronym for it, but yes, that's
which
me.
Which you do not like.
No,
I tried to change that, make it more professional, but nobody would have that, right?
Yeah, nobody seemed to like what I wanted.
What did you want? LPI?
LPI. Just sounds more professional, and it puts everything in order in terms of the names of what we do, so, but it didn't catch on.
Okay, licensing, permits, inspections,
yes.
In order.
Yes.
Okay, so let's start with licensing, if you would, for our discussion today. To do work in the city of Scranton, what does someone need?
Well, it depends on what work they're doing. If you're doing plumbing, electrical, mechanical work, you have to be licensed with the city of Scranton to be able to pull a permit. To do construction work, depending on what you're doing, structural work in the city, building a new home, building a new building, you would have to be a general contractor in the city. If you're doing additions, renovations to a home, non-structural work, you would have to have a license from the Commonwealth through the Attorney General's office, which is called the Home Improvement Contractor's License. As long as you have that, a copy of your contract with the homeowner, a copy of your insurance, then we would allow you to pull a permit in the city.
Okay, so if a homeowner wants to do their own work and has some in-depth knowledge, maybe work for a plumber or an electrician at one time, but not currently doing so, are they able to do their own work?
There's only certain aspects of the job that they can do. They may be able to set a toilet. They can do some rough-in plumbing, maybe some rough-in wiring, but it would still all have to be inspected before they can finish the job. Most of the time, most homeowners don't want to get into that because they don't want to run the risk of creating a hazard with electrical or plumbing. So most of them will still call a contractor. But even if they did do some work on their own and they obtained the permit for it, would still have to be inspected.
Okay, so how does one know? How do you know? How does the city oversee this? How do you know whether somebody's doing their own work or not?
Well, our number one source for any information are the citizens of the city. We get phone calls every day starting at 7:30 in the morning until 5 o'clock at night, sometimes after that. The best source of information that we have are the citizens. On top of that, we do have inspectors that are out on the road all day long. We put housing inspectors out there. Our electrical, plumbing, and mechanical inspectors, when they're not doing inspections, are out on the road as well, following up on permits that have been obtained. So we have guys out on the road all day long checking and seeing, you know, what can be done. In the past week, I've, you know, just driving around, you catch people doing work without permits. You see them doing it and, you know, you stop them, you inform them, you tell them. And most of the time, the answers that you get are, oh, we didn't know we needed one. So you know, take it with a grain of salt sometimes and put them in the right direction, but it happens every day.
Okay, so they didn't know. Do they have to stop their work immediately, shut down, and then get the pull a permit?
Yes. Technically, yes. I mean, depending on the weather is the way that I always put it. If somebody is doing a roof on a house because they had water damage, they had a hole in their roof, and it's we know it's going to rain that night, we'll tell them to continue working. We get all their information, and we instruct them to come and get the permit. But we also don't want there to be more damage to the home, you know, because of, you know, weather-related problems. So we allow them to continue working sometimes, depending on the situation.
So you have to look at the situation and figure it out from there.
Absolutely.
Okay, so getting a license and being an eligible contractor to work in the city takes what?
Well, it depends. Number one, if you are a general contractor, plumber, electrician, mechanical contractor, you have to test for those exams. You have to test for those licenses. In the fields of electrical, plumbing, and mechanical, you have to spend at least 5 years as a journeyman before you can even attempt to take your master's license exam. As a general contractor, you know, most of the time it's experience, and then you take your exam. You
know. Is this an exam by the state?
This is a national exam.
National.
Yeah, okay. ICC, International Code Council, actually tells us what exams they have to take, and then from there they can go to either Prometric or Sylvan to take the exam.
Okay, and then they take this, they pass it, and then they go to you and they put their name on a list?
Well, they come to us with a copy of their insurance.
Proof of insurance.
Right. City requires for those specific fields, mechanical, electrical, plumbing, and building, we require $500,000 liability insurance. So they have to provide us with that, and then there is a fee for the license in the city, which is $175 a year.
Once they're licensed forever, or is this a yearly thing?
They're licensed forever as long as they continue, you know, their payments of their license, keep their license active, as well as in the electrical, mechanical, and plumbing fields, taking their continuing education units. Meaning they have to take 12 every year. So they have to stay up on the new codes. They have to, you know, maintain those education credits and be in the classes during the year so that we can, you know,
continue, keep
their license going.
And then, of course, when the insurance policy renews, they have to show proof of that.
Yes, anytime their insurance policy either gets postponed or canceled or renewed, they have to provide us with a copy. And the insurance companies are pretty good about sending them to us right away. You know, normally it's not even the contractor that gets them for us. Normally the insurance company just sends them to us.
Okay. Now, for most work in the city of Scranton, a licensed contractor is required.
Absolutely.
What can a homeowner do?
A homeowner can actually pull a permit for anything non-structural in terms of building. They can do flooring, which doesn't require a permit, actually. Window, siding, roof. They can put a deck on their back porch, like on the back of their home. They can do things like that. In terms of getting a permit, when it comes down to the nitty-gritty of the structural or the technical fields, we like to call them, we recommend that the homeowner get a contractor who's actually had the education and has done this for years. So that way, when it's inspected, they're not running into more cost. We don't want to see them have to pay out more than what they are paying for. So, you know, if I'm the homeowner and I'm pulling a permit, or I have a contractor pulling a permit, I'm assured at that point that when the inspector comes in, it's going to be right. And I'm not going to have to shell out more money for them to correct their problems.
Right. Well, a lot of people don't know.
Right.
There's different types of sink traps and
right. Whys
and
venting. And
venting. Yeah, we found that out. We right. had a building in Scranton, and the guy came in and he says, oh, that's done all wrong. You got to do this. You got to do that.
Yep.
I was like, well, it's been here for 50 years. He's like, I don't care.
Yeah, once even though it's been there for 50 years, if the inspectors come in, it's got to be brought to the current code, you know, and they see it and they, you know, they'll let you know, and
it can
get
be
costly.
Brand new, and you got to rip it out.
Absolutely.
Do you give them a certain amount of time to correct this?
Depending on the situation, yes.
Not immediately, not in the next 5 minutes.
No, but we normally give them anywhere between 15 to 30 days to correct it, and then a reinspection would occur. So that way they do have the time to correct the problem. And at least if we see at that 30-day point that progress is being made towards correcting it, you know, at least we know that they're sincere in doing what, you know, what's going to bring it to code.
Okay. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate. We're here with City of Scranton Director of Licensing, Inspection, and Permits, Mark Seitzinger. How many inspectors do you have in the city of Scranton?
Right now, I've got 3 housing inspectors, and I've got a plumbing inspector, mechanical inspector, electrical inspector, 2 rental inspectors, a zoning officer, a health inspector, and a weights and measures inspector who does scales and gas pumps and things like that.
Your guys, and you are always constantly on the go, run, run, run. How many more inspectors do you think your department needs in order to efficiently take care of the matters on hand day to day?
To be honest, I've looked at this for the past, 5 years, and realistically, I could use 10 housing inspectors to be able to cover the city, because the housing
10 more than what you currently have.
Well, up to 10. I'd say okay. 7 more from what we have now to give us a total of 10. They're out on the road from 9 o'clock in the morning until 3:30 in the afternoon, and they're covering 27 square miles of a city. So realistically, and I understand budgets and I understand, what we're in now, but realistically, we would need 10 inspectors to cover it. That way I could put 2 inspectors in each territory of the city, and it would really cut down on the time that one inspector is doing the job. We would just get more done at that point.
Okay, and you wouldn't be feeling like you're not getting to everybody.
Right.
You'd take care of the situations, and it'd be a little bit more efficient for you.
Absolutely. It would make things a lot easier for us.
Okay. Before the break, Pat, would you like to review a listing, please?
Yes. We have a beautiful 3-bedroom home in Clark Summit at 111 Wells Street for $189,000. This home has beautiful oak and pine floors, a gas fireplace in the living room, stainless steel appliances, a tile backsplash, and Corian countertops. There's no lack of storage in this home. It's got a cedar closet, a storage attic, a detached 1-car garage, and an attached 2-car garage. There is also an adjoining lot that the owner is willing to sell. So if you're looking for an immaculate 3-bedroom with plenty of garage space, give us a call about 111 Wells Street in Clark Summit for only $189,000.
It's such a nice home.
Oh, it's beautiful. It's perfect.
Maintained very well, and pride of ownership is evident throughout.
Right. There's nothing behind it, and it's got that vacant lot on the side. It's really nice.
Yes. Okay, international buyers, those with permanent residences outside the U.S., are snapping up homes and condos in the U.S. This is according to NAR, the National Association of Realtors. International sales from 2012 into 2013 totaled $68.2 billion. Approximately 54% of reported international purchases were under $250,000. Chinese buyers were reported to be buying homes in the upper range, with a median sales price of $425,000, followed by buyers from India with a median sales price of $300,000, and the United Kingdom with a median sales price of $250,000. International home buyers more frequently pay all cash compared to U.S. buyers. Approximately 63% of international purchases were all cash compared to U.S. cash transactions, which just generally comprise 30% of transactions. According to NAR, international buyers came from a total of 68 countries, but the top 5 countries accounted for 53% of all transactions. That's Canada, China, Mexico, India, and the United Kingdom. Although international transactions occur across the U.S., 5 states accounted for 61% of all transactions. They are Florida, California, Texas, Arizona, and
New York.
You got it. Stay with us on the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Gordy Real Estate on 94.3 FM, The Talker. We'll be right back. The real estate market is extremely active, and you want to make a move, but you don't know where to start, who to call, or how to make it happen. I'm Jackie Ruddy, and I know Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate can lead the way. Our quality service award-winning team will help you with buying and selling a home. Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate has a proven track record and experience you can count on. Lean on us to show you the way. Call 570-344-6724. That's 570-344-6724. Or visit jruddy.com. That's J-R-U-D-D-Y.com. where homes are open every day, all day long. Also, remember to tune in to the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate, Saturdays at 11 a.m. and Sundays at 11:30 a.m. on 94.3 FM, The Talker. In today's real estate market, there's no doubt buying and selling a home is complicated. It can be thrilling and exciting too. Hi, I'm Jackie Ruddy from Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate. And when it comes to real estate, you need to be confident you're making the right decisions. I am confident we have what it takes to help you make those right decisions. Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate has been helping buyers and sellers for over 40 years. So we've invested the time to know and understand the market. We're great listeners, skilled negotiators, and we focus on every detail, giving you the highest level of service. Call Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate today, 344-6724, or visit jready.com. Plus, tune in to the Real Estate Roundtable every Saturday at 11 a.m. and Sunday at 11:30 a.m. on 94.3 FM, The Talker. Don't go it alone. Call 344-6724 for Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate. Welcome back to the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate on 94.3 FM, The Talker. I'm here with my husband, fellow realtor, co-host, Pat Devaney.
Good morning, Jackie. How are you?
Great. How are you?
Very good today.
Good. We're here with Mark Seitzinger, Director, City of Scranton, Director of Licensing, Inspections, and Permits. Good morning.
Good morning.
How do we get in touch with you in your office, please?
Best way to get in contact with us is to call us at 570-348-4193.
And you're down at City Hall?
City Hall, fourth floor, 340 North Washington Avenue.
Okay, a busy place.
A lot of hustle,
a lot of bustle.
Every day.
You were out on a job site this morning.
Yes.
Early this morning.
Yes.
So you're always going. And before the break, we talked about work that a homeowner can do themselves as opposed to work that they cannot do, and licensing requirements in the city of Scranton, what needs to be done there. We were talking right before the break about inspectors and how many you currently have and how many you would like to have. And we talked about all their different types of functions out there. On the break, Pat asked a question about inspections on a multi-family unit dwelling. What's required with that?
So according to the new law that was passed, File Council 17 of 2012, that's our rental ordinance, any property that's a rental unit in the city of Scranton technically needs to be inspected annually. They go through what's called a safety inspection, where it's basically a five-point inspection that our inspectors are looking for. They're looking for smoke detection, make sure that there's hot water, heat, means of egress, carbon monoxide detectors. So, I mean, it's a basic inspection to ensure the safety of the people that are living inside.
Every year.
This is not just a multi. Say I own a single and I'm renting it out. That's supposed to be inspected also?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Any rental unit in the
rental
city.
Unit.
Rental unit.
That is the key word.
Yes.
Rental. Okay.
Yes.
All right. So anybody, so on a single family, two, three, anywhere upward, have to have this annual inspection.
Yes.
And pass the inspection, right?
Yes.
Is it pretty safe to say if they pass one year, they're going to pass the next year? I mean, well, I guess things change, right?
Sometimes. It depends on, you know, we run into situations where they may pass this week and we get called out there for whatever reason and there's no smoke detectors in the building. The tenants may have taken them down, you know, for whatever reason they take them up. Well, that's a violation of the code. Technically, at that point, there's other things that can happen to them through the fire department and through our fire inspectors and fire marshal. But from our standpoint, it's safety. And when they eliminate the safety, you know, detectors that are in the home, you know, that causes them to be in harm's way. So we could close the structure just for that. I mean, we try to avoid that at all costs. We normally get the homeowner on the phone or get him at the site or she at the site so that they can rectify the situation immediately.
So when you say close the building, close the site, do you mean condemnation, the C word?
Yeah, that evil word of condemnation. That's the last thing that we want to do.
That's last resort, but
absolutely.
It could happen.
It could.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So if the building gets condemned, it has to be inspected for everything then, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Now, there are situations where we've already done the inspections on the buildings. They've already been brought to code. You know, whereas, you know, something like this, if the building's already brought to code and we just inspected it within the last 6 months, 8 months, we're going to go in there and say, listen, you need to get, you know, these specific things rectified in order for us to release it from condemnation and be able to have it occupied. When it comes down to the simple thing of smoke detectors being removed, they normally get that taken care of, and they'll guarantee us by the end of the day, we'll go back and check it and it's done. So that way we can avoid the condemnation and the closure of the structure.
Well, that's a good point. But in defense of owners of properties, they probably don't know.
Most of them don't. Most of them don't. And we argue with owners sometimes. We argue with the tenants as well, because our feeling is, as an owner, you need to know what's going on in your property.
Sure.
But at the same time, they can't be there 24/7.
No, nor are they expected to. But like the chirping battery, the chirping smoke detector, I think it's a lot easier sometimes for people just to
just pull out the battery. Boy, you can avoid tragedies just by a smoke detector. How many times you see on the news that there's people killed and there was not one smoke detector in the building? It's just so foolish.
That's the one thing when we go through a building, we test every one of them to make sure each and every one of them work properly, you know, and that they're functioning. People can hear them. They're in the right location. You know, we recommend to everybody, you know, to make sure that you have your smoke detectors, you check your batteries every 6 months, you know, so on and so forth, because it's a life safety measure.
Where are they required?
Every bedroom, common hallway, common stairwell. Carbon monoxide detector in the basement. We also recommend, you know, a lot of times to have one up in the second floor where the bedrooms are as well. Most of them anymore, most people that we're seeing are using the combination pack now. And most of them communicate with each other. So they have the wireless, you know, smoke detectors that are basically interconnected. You know, so one goes off, they all go off, which is, you know, a nice feature. We recommend those. We recommend 10-year lithiums, so that you don't have to touch them. You don't have to do anything. Put them up and they work. You know, you don't have to touch them. But we like the ones, personally, I like the interconnected smoke detectors that communicate with each other, so that way when one goes off, they all go off. We had a development that just basically went into Manuka, and they put those in every unit, the interconnected wireless. And they're combination units of the carbon monoxide, and they are the smoke detectors as well. And they talk to you. They tell you what's going on. They, you know, chirp throughout the house. I mean, it's just an added safety measure. It costs a little bit more money, but you can't put a price on a life.
No, you really can't. Who wants to deal with that tragedy?
Not me.
Not you, not a city official, not the owner of the facility. No one.
No.
Not the family members.
And our number one job is to keep people safe. That's our goal as our department.
Well, you are often seen. I hope you know this. You're a really nice guy, and I can attest to that. But you're often seen as the brutal enemy.
He's the villain. I'm looking right at him. He's got the black hat and the cape and everything.
Yep, we are. We're looked at as the bad guy sometimes. And, you know, because we are the ones that have to go in and close a home or close an apartment.
Enforce rules.
Right. And that makes it difficult for people to understand. It's difficult for people to understand why we're doing it. And the reason we're doing it is to keep people safe. You know, all we want is for them to be safe. We don't close a structure unless it's a life safety measure. And that's our biggest thing. I mean, unless it's completely out of whack, you know, in terms of code, we will close it for life safety only. And that's our biggest goal. I mean, that's what we're there for.
Let me ask you something. If you're going in to do an inspection and they won't grant you access into an apartment, what do you do?
Well, there's a couple different things we can do. If they deny us access into an apartment, one of the measures is we notify the owner, you know, listen, you have 30 days to allow us in. If they deny us that right at that point, under the UCC code, Act 45 in 1999, which is what we adopted as our code, it's the Commonwealth's Uniform Construction Code, we have the right to go for an administrative warrant, which is no different than the police department going for a warrant for drugs or whatever the case in point may be. We're going in there to ask for a warrant to do an inspection, you know, so we have avenues that we can go to try to get an inspection, because like I said, safety is our number one goal.
Now, can a house be condemned, shut down, closed for overgrown grass?
It could be, which is scary.
Yeah, it really is. Because you go away in June or July when grass is growing really, you know.
Right. And that's a difficult call sometimes by an inspector. You know, 90% of the time they're going to call me and say, listen, this house and I'll say leave a 10-day notice. They may be on vacation, or in the wintertime, the sidewalks
aren't cleared. The snow, right.
And they're living in Florida for the winter months. So we look to see what we can do before we even go that route. It's a last resort for us as condemnation. I mean, there's a lot of condemned properties, and people think we're the hatchet men, come in there and say, yep, you're condemned, and that's it. But that's our last resort.
Well, as a city official, I am sure that the last thing you want to do is deal with the headaches regarding condemnation, because they have to take it out of condemnation and then something else happens if they don't.
Demolition.
If
it gets to that point, demolition occurs. And, you know, demolition is something that's the end all be all. I mean, for us, I mean, we don't want it to happen. I mean, there are properties that do get torn down in the city. They've been vacant for 20 years. They've been condemned. Nobody could buy them. The owner's gone. We don't know where they're at. We've notified them, and we've gotten to that point of demolition, and it happens. I mean, that's the nature of the beast sometimes. But as I always say, it only takes one property to bring down a whole neighborhood.
That's right. These vacant buildings attract crime. They attract vermin.
Absolutely.
They're just a hazard for the fire department.
Absolutely. And that's what's scary. I mean, you have a vacant home in a block that's not maintained, that's not secure. You know, the first thing we do when we condemn a home is take the power off the property. We get the power turned off, we shut off the gas, and we shut off the water. And there's a couple different reasons we do that. Number one, we don't want vagrants living inside with electricity and gas and water. It kind of gives them a free hotel. Number two, it kind of eliminates that problem of an electrical fire or a gas explosion at the property. We don't want that problem. In the winter months, we get a lot of properties that are condemned. If we don't turn the water off, the pipes freeze, and next thing you know, the basement's filled with water and the neighbors are complaining. So we have the water turned off as well. We do what we can to protect the neighborhood, but at the same time, the people that end up going in, you know, when something bad happens, are the fire department and the police department. When we get rid of problem properties, it eliminates the potential for crime or hazards in the neighborhood. So like I said, it only takes one property to bring down a whole neighborhood.
Well, not to mention fire departments, your nature of what you do, you risk your life, and then you're going into this property, the floor might cave in, and structural issues. You don't know what you're walking into, and it's dark,
absolutely.
And it's smoky.
Absolutely.
And their lives are further at risk.
That's why it's people, you know, they hear me on the radio, on the Comm Center radio, and anytime we condemn a property, I notify Comm Center. So that way, if they do get called to that property, fire department or police department, they're notified. They know that the property is condemned property. They know to proceed with caution.
There you go.
Because they don't know what the problem might be. They don't know if it's a structural problem. They don't know if it was an electrical problem. But at least they know to proceed with caution.
Good call on your part.
We used to put X's on the building so we would know not to go into the building. Don't enter them.
Yeah, and especially with condemned properties now. Like, I know our fire department and our fire marshal has gone around to certain properties that we've notified him on, and he's marked out properties that have missing floors or holes in floors, so that way the fire department does know when they do enter, or if they have to enter, that there are issues there.
Sounds like you have all bases covered.
Hopefully,
thankfully, right?
We try.
Okay. Thanks for a great discussion today, Mark Seitzinger, Director, City of Scranton, Director of Licensing, Inspections, and Permits. Would you come back next week? Because we need to talk a little bit more about all this stuff, okay?
Absolutely.
Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
Pat, would you close us with the listing, please?
Yes. We have a 3-bedroom home in Scranton located at 417 South 9th Avenue for $87,000. This home has an updated kitchen and an updated bath with double sinks. The wiring has been updated, and it also has a B-dry system in the basement. It has a very nice fenced-in yard with a deck and an above-ground pool and plenty of space to just relax. So if you're looking for an updated 3-bedroom home in Scranton for $87,000, give us a call about 417 South 9th Avenue, and that is listed by Sam Shelter of our office.
Thank you, Pat. Remember to tune in next Saturday at 11 a.m. or Sunday at 11:30 a.m. to listen to more of the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate on 94.3 FM, The Talker. And during the week, you can visit jruddy.com, J-R-U-D-D-Y.com, to view our listings or search the MLS listings. Have a great week.
All Century 21 real estate offices are independently owned and operated.
Hi, this is Jackie Ruddy from Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate. Is real estate on your mind? It's on ours 24/7. Whether you're buying, selling, investing, or in need of an appraisal, you have questions, we have answers.
Thinking of buying or selling a house and have questions? Tune in to the Real Estate Roundtable, hosted by locally owned and operated Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate on Saturday mornings at 11 and Sunday mornings at 11:30.